It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
And welcome to the SwampSwamiSports.com podcast. Let's talk the USFL's week number 10. Goodbye, Birmingham, and hello, Canton, Ohio. The regular season of the new USFL concluded last weekend in Birmingham, Alabama. The 8-team Spring Football League will now begin its 4-team playoffs this coming Saturday, with all games being played in Canton, Ohio. Now, the games are being reportedly moved from Birmingham to Canton to accommodate the World Soccer Tournament in Birmingham. While in Ohio, the Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium will be hosting the USFL playoff games. Now, this is a stadium used by the NFL during the annual Hall of Fame preseason kickoff game in August. Well, before we preview the USFL upcoming playoffs, let's cover last week's week number 10 action. First, the New Jersey Generals 26 and the Philadelphia Stars 23. This game was on the USA Network and had only 239,000 television viewers. In Saturday's early game, the New Jersey Generals ran their record to 9-1 with a narrow 26-23 win over Philadelphia. The Stars went for a three-point conversion with less than 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter to try and tie up this game. And yes, I did say a three-point conversion. The USFL rules allow three extra-point type options following a touchdown. The team may kick the traditional one-point extra point or go for a two-point conversion from the two-yard line, and if they prefer, they can try the league's unique three-point conversion from the 10-yard line. In this case, Philadelphia came up short on that three-point attempt, and the Generals held on to secure the victory. New Jersey and the hometown Birmingham Stallions both finished with a sterling 9-1 regular season record, and they are going to be the favorites in the upcoming semifinal games on Saturday in Canton, Ohio. The second game on Saturday, the Birmingham Stallions 21, the Tampa Bay Bandits 18, this game was televised by Fox and had 649,000 TV viewers. In the Saturday afternoon second game, yet another failed three-point conversion attempt near the end of the game was pivotal, as Tampa Bay, now 4-6, came up short against the Birmingham Stallions, who finished at 9-1. The Stallions jumped out to an early 14-0 lead on the arm of quarterback Alex Magoo. Yeah, it's pronounced Magoo. Tampa Bay fought back in the second half to finally get within 3 points with 7 minutes left to play in the fourth quarter, but after that missed three-point conversion attempt, the Stallions were able to hang on and secure the win. In Sunday's first game, it was the Michigan Panthers 33, Pittsburgh Maulers 21. That game was televised on the USA Network with 282,000 TV viewers. In a Sunday contest between the two North Division bottom feeders, the Michigan Panthers improved to 2-8 with an easy 33-21 win over the hapless Pittsburgh Maulers, who finished 1-9 in the first game of Sunday's doubleheader. Michigan jumped to a 21-0 lead early in the second quarter and then coasted from there. Pittsburgh padded their final stats by scoring 18 points in the final quarter to make the score look closer than this game actually was. And in the final regular season game Sunday afternoon, it was the Houston Gamblers 20, New Orleans Breakers 3. That game was televised by FS1, and only 181,000 viewers saw the game, which was the lowest network television viewing audience this whole season. The Houston Gamblers ended their regular season on a positive note by dusting off the playoff-bound New Orleans Breakers 20-3. Former University of Tulsa quarterback Zach Smith threw 2 interceptions for New Orleans in the first half to hand Houston an early lead. The Breakers' offense was simply pitiful on Sunday, with just 64 yards in total passing for the game and just 72 yards on the ground for the entire four-quarter game. The Houston Gamblers, who finished at 3-7, also totaled less than 200 yards of offense in this game too, but it was still enough to take down New Orleans, who finished at 6-4. Now let's cover the USFL's divisional championship, and I'll have some predictions for you. And both of these semifinal games will be played on Saturday, June 25th. The first game at 2 p.m. Central is on Fox, and it's the North Division Championship between Philadelphia at 6-4 and New Jersey at 9-1. And yes, these two teams just played last weekend in week number 10. Now, New Jersey has won both regular season contests by slim margins, 7 points early in the season and then 3 points last weekend. The Generals feature alternating quarterbacks. One's more of a runner, the other more of a passer, and a rock-solid defense. The Philadelphia Stars were the league's highest-scoring offensive team in the regular season, but they also gave up the largest number of points on defense this year. New Jersey, the winners of 9 straight games, should advance into the finals. I predict the final score to be New Jersey 27 and Philly 17. And then, at 7 p.m. Central next Saturday on NBC, it's the South Division Championship between New Orleans at 6-4 and the Birmingham Stallions at 9-1. The Breakers lost last weekend, badly, to a last-place Houston team and are limping into the playoffs. Birmingham has a very impressive overall record, but remember, the Stallions have frequently needed a fourth-quarter rally to win their games this spring. The Stallions' defense should be the big difference here this weekend. They have provided the big plays for this team all season long, and I believe they'll get the job done once again on Saturday night in Canton. I'll predict the final score is Birmingham 24 and New Orleans 17. Now let's offer some comments on the USFL's regular season. First, the quality of play. The USFL's first season on the field went much better than I expected. 2 elite teams emerged from the pack, both New Jersey and Birmingham, at 9-1 to dominate their divisions. Only the Pittsburgh Maulers at 1-9 really look like they could use a complete team overhaul, and especially on offense. In general, the USFL's league-wide lack of offense was quite disappointing this season. Defenses have been dominant since week one, and that's why New Jersey and Birmingham developed into the 2 best USFL teams during the regular season in year number one. For the quality of play, let's give the USFL a B-. Next, the length of the season. The USFL's 10-game regular season might have been 2 games longer than necessary if the league plans to just stick with 8 teams next year. That's assuming there will be a second season. The USFL's 4 playoff teams were already known 2 weeks ago, and this effectively rendered the final 2 weekends' slates of games meaningless. For the length of season, let's give the USFL a C-. Next, let's talk television coverage, and I want to break that into 2 categories. The first is the game day television production. Now, this is where the USFL was really able to shine. The games were covered professionally, and the television crew really did a good job in hiding the fact that the majority of football was being played in a relatively empty stadium in Birmingham, Alabama. If the USFL teams had supplied a little bit more offense, then the fun factor of watching these games on television would have certainly improved the ratings as well. For game day production on TV, let's give the USFL a B+. And next, the TV network coverage. The USFL must, and I mean must, establish a set schedule of firm starting times and game days beginning next season. With just 4 games per weekend, the league tried to do a few Friday night games. Okay, but when you're doing that, the viewers aren't sure whether Saturday or Sunday's games will be a single game or a doubleheader day. The game starting times were also woefully inconsistent, too. I think there should be an afternoon and an evening game played at the same kickoff time every Saturday and every Sunday during the regular season. Now, the good news about network coverage was that every USFL game was at least telecast on a national outlet, even though me and countless others did not pay to watch the NBC Peacock internet service for a few of those games. Even though Fox, NBC, FS1, USA, and Peacock all had their share of games this season, the fans at home weren't sure which network, though, was going to be carrying any particular football game from week to week. So next year, since the USFL listens to me, the league needs to establish firm starting times on Saturdays and Sundays and give their 2 power name networks like Fox and NBC the same weekly game days and starting times each week. For example, let's say Fox has the Saturday afternoon game and it always starts at 2 p.m. and NBC has the Sunday afternoon game and it always starts at 1 p.m. Because as we know, in the NFL, you don't have to think. The first game on Sunday always starts at noon, and the second game usually starts by 3:15 to 3:30. With more consistency, the audience will know when the USFL is going to be played every week, and the ratings would improve. But for the network coverage this year, I'm giving them a D+. Finally, let's talk about Sweet Home Birmingham, Alabama. In order to preserve cash, Fox Sports, which owns 100% of the USFL, decided to play all USFL regular season games in Alabama's largest city of Birmingham this year. This unique concept allowed the league to minimize travel costs, administrative overhead costs, stadium rentals, and other large expenses. So the USFL has tightly controlled all financial matters this first year just to see if this latest incarnation of spring pro football would be financially viable. The new football stadium to be used for the UAB college football games this fall was absolutely terrific in Birmingham. The local turnout for the USFL games, though, was not. Those of us raised in the Deep South realize that it gets far too hot for football when it turns 90 degrees and above by mid to late May and certainly into June in Birmingham, Alabama. The USFL might be wise to consider moving the first games of the season back by up to 4 weeks next season if you're going to play games in the Deep South. Local football fans in Alabama were also asked to support both their hometown Stallions and the other seven USFL cities, not named Birmingham, every single weekend for 10 weeks in year number one. Now, the USFL had to expect that attendance for most games was going to be meager. Were they really foolish enough to believe that thousands of football fans would fly or drive from Pittsburgh and Detroit and New York and other cities to Birmingham just to come watch their new USFL team? If the USFL does survive into year number two, the league must find an economic way to bring the football games to the league's other cities. Perhaps they might want to consider remaining based in Birmingham for practice and facilities and things like that, but then flying all eight teams to a different USFL city every weekend next year, like one weekend in Houston, another in Tampa, to play all four of the league's games that weekend in the host city. Just something to think about. But for Birmingham and handling all the games this year in one location, I got to give that grade a D. And overall, for what we've covered today, the current USFL grade before the playoffs, I'll give a C. So if I were the USFL owner, Fox Sports, I'm expecting this weekend to see a significant improvement in television ratings for the semifinal games and also the championship game to be played the following weekend. If the average TV audience does not reach, let's say, at least 1.5 million people per game this weekend, then this league's future might be in deep trouble. Come back next week as I'll review the two semifinal games from this Saturday, we'll preview the first USFL championship game, and discuss the future of this spring pro football league. And if you have any ideas on how you might want to improve the USFL, send them to me. I would appreciate your comments, and if you send them to me early, I can have them in for next week's show. Send your comments to SwampSwamiSports, all one word, SwampSwamiSports@gmail.com. I will discuss your suggestions in a new post early next week. I'm Swamp Swami. Keep those cards and letters coming. See you next time.